What should we look at this evening?
Mosquitoes? No scenes? Scott?
Having a good time.
Having a good time?
Yeah.
Say more about that.
Well, we have some friends coming to visit soon, and so we're working.
We do? I heard that rumor.
And, boy, this place is getting stiffed. Beyond stiffed.
Yes.
Reconstructed in some way.
Reconstructed, yeah. Well,
actually, right when I just said that, that's what's going on here. Getting stiffed, getting reconstructed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Projection. It never lets us down.
No, yeah. Cleaned out and that reconstruction. That means those old things, those old little structures have been clinging to starting to fall off.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just got to, well, yesterday I had that one of those like, wee days, and then the first half of today, like, boom, you know, just like, clogged up. And, just some old, like, feeling, little kid feeling bad kind of stuff. And so what I've been doing lately when this thing's been coming in saying how annoying I am, how I'm messing up the system and that kind of thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Other people?
No, to, yes, how I'm annoying to other people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He's not owning that projection.
No.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, how annoying it's talking to me about being annoying all day.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and how annoying that you are being reconstructed.
Ah, yes. Thank you.
Messing up its system.
Definitely messing up its system. When you're going like this, like, too much presence, you know.
Right, right.
You know that's...
Go to sleep.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Yeah, exactly. So one of my responses lately is, I'm sure you're right about that. I really don't have time for that conversation right now.
Wish I did.
I just don't.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's really true. I know we get that true all the time, but it seems really concrete right now. Like, I can't afford to go off the rails right now.
Mm-hmm.
This team is... We need each other to be here, or it starts to woo off the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need to be communicating, I need to be paying attention, I need to just be here.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't have time for that conversation right now.
Maybe later.
Uh-huh. Who knows? Hopefully not. Yeah, so anyway, practicing that, it was like the image was, it's like a dirty gutter. You know, and that practicing that and unhooking from that conversation was like clean water coming in and just cleaning out that gutter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can feel, whoosh, like the life, it starts to be life living. I can feel myself, boom, boom, bouncing here,
uh-huh.
Getting information, responding. And it's so, that's such a different experience than me trying to get something done and manage something and... Was that what they meant? And so every time there's some sort of conversation, it's always about me. And now I've just taken myself out of the life role that we're all playing. And not only taken myself out when that's going on, I sense it's a mucking up in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just affecting my experience. Mm-hmm. It's mucking up other things too.
Mm-hmm. So well, it, of course, you know, sports images are always so good. So, this is a basketball team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and we all know the place of finding ourselves standing over there on the edge of the court somewhere going, let's see, was I...
Did they pick and roll? No, screen? No.
what was it? Yeah, in the meantime... Folks are limping along around us, trying to...
That 2-on-5 instead of 5-on-5 or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the difference when you feel like you're right there, you're participating, you're completely engaged. It's really exciting.
Yeah.
And what's really exciting is you chose a team sport. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not one of those sports where you're in it all by yourself.
Yes.
And you like that.
I love
right?
it.
Yes. And so then being a part of that team and giving it your all and really not seeing other people as some kind of opposition, which we're meant to do, of course, you know, pick them apart and criticize them, why they this and why they that, mm-hmm. and they're
or project they're doing that, that they're whatever
they could
about
be.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Although we don't have time for that
We really don't. They might be, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
That's their problem.
You could be right about that.
You could completely be right about that.
Yeah. And so the realization of this is a team, mm-hmm. and I want to do my best, and I want to support everybody else to do their best.
Yeah.
It really is just fun.
Yeah, and it's the incredible privilege of right now, and what's required for us to be ready, is we're always on a team. That's always going on.
Yes.
It's just when things slow down, it's easier to believe what I'm doing doesn't really affect, or it doesn't really matter. It's only affecting me.
Mm-hmm.
But here, you can just see one moment of, huh, now somebody has to ask you the question three times, you know, that kind of
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just...
Or everybody on the property is looking for the whatever it is
yeah.
that I just sat down somewhere and walked off and I have no idea where it is and nobody else has any idea where it is.
Right, and then we spend the next 20 minutes and now that person's late to the thing that they were going to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, so it's just such a privilege, and the other privilege is that I'm doing this on a team where everyone else is practicing awareness too, and that just
makes a huge difference.
Oh, it's such a huge difference, and it's easier to kind of just drop things too, because it's like, wait, right, we're all on the same team. Everyone's running into little bumps, and then they're doing their little moves, and then they're moving around it, and you know, like that's part of playing the game together.
Mm-hmm.
There's not like one person. You and I need to be perfect on the team,
right? So if we're going to stay with this little image, because we're all improving our game.
Yes.
All mm-hmm. learning to be just a little more present, a little more tuned in,
mm-hmm.
more available.
Yeah.
Quicker in our get here.
Yeah. And I notice when I'm in that place, so it's like I notice I'm in a conversation about something. Well, how about you go back to the original email and see what it says to do? Because it's like, well, should I email this or should I text this? Why don't you go back to the original information? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about you know, or just communicate and you'll get a course correction if that's not the way it was meant to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just keep moving, not off on the side of the court going,
right.
I mean, if you pull
your phone.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Coach?
Anyway, just having a good time.
Good. Good, I love it. Oop. Right on this side.
Yeah, at a whole different level, I'm feeling this team thing also. And what I'm seeing is, I'm afraid though, just when I was listening just then, that I'm becoming that player that takes herself out of the game, even though she just buzzes out and doesn't, and therefore becomes useless to the rest of the team. So she's trying to move too fast.
Well, yes. And that's part of it, isn't it? Right. I mean, that's why we all practice together, because we are all bringing whatever it is to our little team, and we're practicing together so that we become more able to see the things that are happening that are not helpful, and we can do the course correction. And
well, maybe that's what I keep seeing over and over. It's so familiar to my other life that. Keep pushing, you know, trying to get more done and not stopping when the bell rings. I did that just once.
Okay, all right.
And I got that revenge for it. Anyway. So it's doing it and being able to move at a pace, and I've looked at this a lot, without having conditions doing it. Being where I am instead of in the conversation.
Right. Because with this, then pretty soon there's this, then there's this, right? And at the end of the day, I'm just worn out, exhausted, can't hardly. And we look at it and go, well, now, is what I did that hard? Well, actually, no. But how I did it was brutal. Yeah. And so, again, that's why we do this. As you say, you see it in your other life, but it here... You're supposed to see it, right? And here's the chance to do the alternative in a safe place.
Right.
Yeah.
Do it different because I can see it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And practice up for when you go back to that other life.
Right.
And hopefully bring some more of the tension, speed, not necessary here.
And I just remembered one of the ways that I've been looking at is to use the body as a way to relax. So it's like stop and check in with that tightness.
Yes.
Because as if waking up and ending something isn't a good enough reason to do it, being nice to the body is just extra. It just feels like important.
And when the body is relaxed, so is the mind.
Right.
So that's it there. So, you know, whichever way we want to come at it in any given moment, if I can drop all the tension out of the body, the mind just goes,
Right. Okay. Vice versa too. And the other way around.
And the other way around. Right. So I'm bringing attention back to here, just back to here, back to here. And when I'm doing that, I'm remembering the body. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So I'm here and I'm aware of what the body's doing. And is there tension? And oh, there's this hippie. Okay, we'll just drop that. I'm here. Dropping that. Such a good system. So I was looking at it today. First there's movement, then there's sensation. We have a thought about it, an emotional reaction to it, and a conditioned behavior that goes with it. And looking at how each one of those contributes to the other, right? That how this, and how focusing on any one of them and bringing it to a halt, because it will come to a halt if we pay attention to it, how that affects then, excuse me, all of the others.
Because you stepped into that place
of awareness. Of awareness. And all of those things happen in unconsciousness. How I am with sensations, how I am with the thoughts, how I am with the emotion, how I am with the conditioned behavior. All of that is maintained in unconsciousness. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I bring conscious awareness to any of it, there's nothing maintaining that structure any longer.
It was a retreat about that.
Yes, it works. Yes. Oh, yeah, it really does. Yeah. Which of course is why egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate wants us to go unconscious and is working at that every chance we get. And we can see how we've all fallen, everybody in this room, we've all fallen for the beliefs and assumptions put forth by society that foster that orientation with life. So the right person is going really fast and being terribly efficient and tense and stressed. Really busy, very important. Yeah. And so here we go, because we want to be the right person. We want to do the right thing. We want to, right? And I'm at a certain age, you get it that really all you're getting out of it is being really tense and both tight, really fast and stressed and all that. But for a long time, you believe that that's going to lead you to what you want. And so people just willingly, excitedly, enthusiastically pursue that. Right. And then we get to that place of realizing, those don't go together.
Yeah, and when I came in with that, the sensation, movement, emotions, condition has such, if it can catch me in any one of those,
yes,
then I'm in.
That's right. Because they are a unit. They are an ego-maintaining unit.
Gives it a broad range of options.
Precisely. Yes, you see something out of the corner of your eye, that's fine. We have a story that goes with that.
Right.
And coincidentally, it'll feed right into your karma.
Okay.
Rebecca?
Wow, there's just so much to look at all the time, isn't there?
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It really is, and I just even love being in the place where I can see all that, you know?
Yes. which is called here.
Yeah.
Right? And when we're here, I love that place. And when we're here, we really don't have time for the conversation.
Yeah.
Because we can't do both.
Yeah. Mm. And it's almost like talking is sort of truncating because there's just so much, you know, but
oh, yeah. Oh, we can't think fast enough, we can't talk fast enough. All the time was dry.
You know, that brings up something that I read recently that I something on Tuesday's radio show made me think of it too, but it was so powerful. I was reading this book on holistic anatomy, and the example that this person gave was, so you got your body.
You got your body. That'd be a good place to start an anatomy book, right? Okay, so you got your body.
And then if you just think about everywhere the mind has gone, there's no way the poor body can keep up because it's all that. Mm-hmm. Then, so you got your body and then you got your mind. Then you take what we would call awareness, or they call spirit. And it is to the mind what the mind is to the body. There's just no way the mind can keep up mm-hmm. with that. It's just like, it's so incredibly expansive. And I just thought that.
Well, and it's interesting, isn't it? Because awareness is so much more akin to the body than to the mind.
Yeah.
Right? With all of its, just all of that all that's going on all the time.
Yeah, and it brings back what you know, and we're just talking about the restfulness of the body within the field of awareness, where within the mind, oh, it's just a nervous wreck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just found that really interesting. And I've been having a wonderful workshop on weed eating.
Me too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, you know, the arms are getting really strong, and I just am. And there was something, a conversation a week or two ago about how much physical activity feels good, and it was to watch the attention, kind of the assignment, or I guess, or it's to watch the attention in activity. That because just because you're having a good time doesn't necessarily mean you know where you are. You're here, you know. And so, you know.
Yes, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really, because weed eating is one of those good times where I just feel the energy moving and feels very not identified, very present. But I was watching the attention, and it was really like a kid in a theme park. Let's go, oh, this is fun. And oh, no, and it was just bouncing around. And I kept having flashbacks of I thought, oh, there's a little self-hate, because I kept having flashbacks, you know, the weed eater, of when I had to take Charlie and James both to the groomer and the barber respectively to say, can you fix them? You know, because I'm not too even with my power tool cutters here, so I was digging into
or with their haircuts.
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know, so that, you know, so then there's that.
Hopefully, though, you didn't do the to the scalp.
Well, no, it didn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, because I've noticed that I can get some scorched earth beyond clear cut.
Yeah,
right.
That's where what would
the roots are gone.
That's what would bring on the flashbacks, is when I would get into the dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And I could always tell it was when my arms were getting tired and I just couldn't control it as well, you know. And anyway, all of that going on within the field of awareness and being aware of where all the attention would go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a model, I guess would be the word, for how I choose to be on the cushion. Because that's what we were talking about in this first conversation. I think I was talking about how much easier it is to feel present in that kind
of activity than on the cushion.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that one.
Yeah. I don't really know where I was going next. But.
Well, so there you were.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to watch attention move in the field of awareness so that all this stuff is going on and you're aware of where attention is going with all of that.
Yeah.
Now, I project where, what you've noticed is when we're sitting and we're not moving,
mm-hmm.
and we're just looking at a blank wall through very relaxed eyes, it's a different experience.
Yeah.
Is that...
Yep.
Did that kind of tie it together?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And wishing for more of the attitude of mind or the attitude of heart or whatever it is, perhaps the same enthusiasm for everything that's going on sitting on the cushion that you have with the weed eater.
Bingo. That's exactly it. Exactly it. Wishing for the same attitude of heart, mind, enthusiasm, energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Is there a judgment in the what's happening with attention and awareness when sitting that isn't there when up moving around in activity?
Yep. Yeah. As you're saying that, what I'm seeing is a belief and a judgment, they're the unit, I guess, that, gosh, it's so, let's see, it's starting to fade, let's see. The belief is attention shouldn't move that fast, that quickly. It shouldn't go. It shouldn't ping pong around, like ricochet off everything. It should stay still.
Mm-hmm. And it's much more okay, fun, interesting, when you're in activity.
Mm-hmm.
But when you sit down on the cushion, it should stay.
Yeah. Like the little puppy. When you train it well, it should stay with you.
It should just come and sit on your lap.
Right. Yeah. And I'm seeing, or I guess this is kind of a question, is I just... Maybe the only difference is I don't have that belief when I'm in activity.
Right. Or you don't have that belief or you don't have that standard.
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't hold yourself to the same. I mean, if you could only hold the weed eater and you could only look.
Yeah. 3 feet in front of you with your eyes slightly down.
That's right. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And that it would be wrong somehow if you didn't do it exactly that way.
Yeah.
I would imagine weed eating would go way down to the bottom of the list in a big hurry.
A fun thing to do.
Not because of anything other than to be so constrained, so controlled,
yes.
So judged,
yes.
Held to such rigid standards would take the fun right out of it.
Yes. Yes, and you know, it seems like when I was weed eating and describing that experience today, the field of awareness plenty big because I was watching all this stuff, I was aware of it, and it seems, I guess, or what may be happening is on the cushion, the field of awareness just isn't that expanded, so that... Or, I don't know.
So one of the definitions that I heard or read or something many, many years ago about shikantaza, which is it's Japanese.
I was impressed by you didn't say that.
You got that, huh? And that doesn't matter. And besides, I'm going to lead people astray if I say it. But the example that they use is that you're sitting in meditation, and so we're sitting here in meditation, and somebody opens the kitchen back door a quarter of an inch, and you know it.
Hmm.
Now, I think this points us to perhaps a broader vision of sitting practice.
Please say more. This is very interesting.
Okay, good. Okay. So if I'm sitting there and fairly rigid, right? Because
yeah.
Okay. And
that judge, I mean, are we in that place? We're in my standard.
Yes, I'm not scanning my sitting posture to see if the body is in the best position it can be in to be comfortable for practice. It's a standard.
Yes. Okay.
So it's checking everything out to see if I'm meeting the goal.
Yes.
Yeah. Or I could be sitting in meditation, scanning to make sure everything is relaxed, so that the body is as comfortable as the body can be in sitting. And then if the standard is that I need to keep the attention right here, well, I mean, somebody could take the kitchen door off the hinges and pull it down. But if attention is here and awareness is allowed to just be as expansive as it can be, and there is sensing that awareness in that expansiveness, it might get to be almost as much fun as weed eating. And even the, you know, what's happening in conditioned mind, if that's just interesting,
yeah.
It's not, we don't have to go with it, we probably will more often than we wish, but the fact that it's there can be kind of like being out there and everything else is going on.
Yeah.
Attention is going to be aware of this. Increasingly, attention, there's an awareness, we could say attention is there, or we could say there's an awareness of the hara, but it's not a rigid, focused, controlled, very relaxed and expansive.
So in that place that you're describing, that relaxed, expansive place, if attention is bound, is it that attention is one place and awareness is sort of, there's all these, you know, things, or is it that attention can go to all of these things and I can still be in that?
Well, that's what you're going to tell me.
Okay. And what's driving it out is the thing that will enable me to know, find out that is I've got to get out of the standard. Because the standard is like the pin that is literally the pinning
yes.
into this.
And the problem with that, and I think it's a problem that every meditator probably struggles with. But if they're going to be those rigid standards, somebody has to be in charge of enforcing them. We're doing awareness practice to dismantle that. That person who is going to watch us and make sure that we do it right. And so we want to be more aware of that process going on, which we can be aware of from awareness, rather than identifying with that somebody who is going to be in charge of our meditation and our practice and hold us to the standards. Because then if we fall for that, then of course we're in the same place in meditation that we are everywhere else in life, which is there is somebody who is watching us and judging and deciding. And
yeah, that's what we're, I feel like I have grass all over me. that's what we're dismantling.
Yes, exactly. And so to bring that into practice, where you have a sense of, are you here and aware of all of it? Is there somebody who is watching all of it, watching you and all of it? Where are you in that?
And may I ask one other question? Because I know we've gone on long, but it's about that. When you mentioned the hara, I noticed, because I was watching the body too, kind of in comparison, and when I'm out in activity, it feels like the feeling that I enjoy so much is right, kind of between the fourth and the fifth chakra. And there's
okay. First, second, third,
fourth,
fifth.
I mean, third and fourth. Sorry, okay. Third and fourth chakra.
Okay.
Yeah. And it feels like an energy generator.
Third.
A little bit higher than the third.
Solar plexus?
A little bit higher than the solar. Wouldn't that be about right here?
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels, but it doesn't feel heart. It feels just below the heart, but not yet in the solar plexus. I don't know if that is the place, but that's where it seems to reside. And it's sort of a spinning, like an energy generator.
Well, this is the center of doing.
The solar plexus?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it might be generating big enough that
it just
feels like it's expanding.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But that's the...
And then, but in meditation, you often invite us to the hara. That's where attention can rest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And you can feel that when you're out working too, because it's very much what people experience with the transverse.
Oh, right. When your core is engaged,
mm-hmm.
That's it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Would you say that Japanese word one more time?
Shikantaza.
Yeah,
I don't know how a Japanese would pronounce it, but that's a German version.
Well, thank you for this. It gives me really a lot to
good.
Play with. Thank you.
Yes. Well, hopefully when you sit down now, there will be
yeah.
much more interest in being there.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Because really we are meditators, not weed eaters. And so generally speaking... meditation practice will last longer than our weed eating practice.
Mm-hmm.
So we do want to be able to have a really good time
as
when we're sitting still. Yes, easily as much fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Matt?
Just like a wash in seeing.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yes.
Just seeing all these conversations going, oh. Particularly in the working meditation, I think they're like, I'm like, oh man, no wonder I don't like working. Because with these kinds of conversations going on in my outside world, it's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so one of those is, you know, especially in our environment where no one gets to correct this and ego can kind of run wild, it's like, it's all performance-based. The conversation is, how am I doing? Oh, they're either going to really like this or more often.
Oh, that's...
Yeah. Oh, and it's the projection, like this future creation thing goes so far that it not only has them judge, it's like a secret meeting. The residents of the secret meeting
right.
Where they talk
they
about
send it. You off
yeah.
to work somewhere so that they can
well because they're clearly all talking about my weed eating or my paper bag.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And here it's even more
we have never had anybody cut paper like that now. My God.
Well, I'm just imagining months from now they're like this thing is not even it must have been mad. and then the conversation, so it's creating some group conversation about how bad my performance is and whatever, and then it's creating me defending it,
which is the important piece, isn't it?
Because it means so much what people think about how I cut people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I've got to defend it. And so then the conversation is like, well, I was trying, and the papers were hard to look on, and whatever it is.
Scissors are dull.
And so
we're all laughing, of course. You know exactly the experience you're having.
Yeah, and so it's wonderful to see, and it's so funny to see here where if I can step out of it at all, the truth of those things is so clear. I mean, there's two fun places. One is, why in the world would ego trick me in believing that this could happen and I actually need to spend energy on it? Mm-hmm. It's so far afield. Mm-hmm. And then the other place is, if they did, if they had a secret meeting and they all decided I'm bad at paper cutting, who cares?
Could I survive?
Why would I make that mean anything about me?
Uh-huh. Although, at that point, you might begin to seek an exit. Right? Because if a group of people talk about how bad you are at paper cutting, you might actually be in a dangerous place.
Yes, and I would also want to be in a place where I could see that for the silliness that it is.
Yeah.
And not have it be.
Yes. And you know, the part about that I think is the best of what being in this environment for an extended period of time does, is we begin to get it that ego will use anything. It'll say anything, it'll do anything to try to get your attention. And out in the world, there's so much going on. It's easy for ego to get a person's attention. But here, there's not much going on. And so that's the kind of absurdity that it goes to, because it's got to have your attention.
Yeah.
And having something wrong, of course, is the greatest way for ego to get attention. And then you defending yourself, so it's going to use the same kinds of scams that would work out there. And so here you get to see, that's ridiculous. And again, as we practice it over and over and over here, when we go out there, it's much easier to see. Now, will we forget after a period of time? Probably, yes. But it's easier to catch on to. It's easier to come back to that kind of awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I see. You know, this conversation is one thing when it's about paper cutting. I mean, anywhere it's showing up, it's keeping me from getting to be alive here right now.
Yes.
So in that way, wherever it's showing up and I'm buying into it or my attention is on it,
yes,
then, you know, it's robbing me of my life.
That's right. And again, out there, it has so much more fodder. You know, it can actually use kind of plausible circumstances. You know, you're at work, you know, and you start getting rumblings from colleagues that there's some sort of coup being put together. You know, that kind of thing actually happens or could happen or whatever. But here, we get to see the same process with such absurd content that it's much, much easier to catch on to the various processes. Hmm? Which is why it's not a mistake. And of course, what ego starts going on about is that this shouldn't be happening. You know, you should be able to pay better attention. So, I mean, look, you're just wasting all day long in these stupid conversations in your head as if that's not the stupid conversation in your head that's going on currently, right? And so we really want to keep good notes about it. Because the kinds of processes that I see happening, right? I get into fantasies about the future. I get into fantasies about the past. I get into regret. I get into worry. I get into, and just kind of lay out the various places that it can take you. Because, again, you're catching on to process. So when you go back out there, you can watch how to do the same thing. Now it's worrying about other people. Now it's worrying about what somebody thinks about me. Now it's this. And you won't get so fooled by the content.
Yeah.
Which is ego's big weapon.
Yeah. Yeah, and I see, you know, like, thinking about the weed eating, paper cutting conversations happening. You know, like, there's a book that I really want to write and feel called to write, and I see that, like, all the same conversations are happening. And there's not the structure to have me do it.
Yes.
Here there is. I'm going to do it anyway.
Yes.
And so some of the things that I truly from my heart would like to be doing.
Yes.
That conversation will not only distract me, it'll keep me from doing it.
That's exactly right. And I bet you know people who either express it or you suspect their life is kind of one big regret because the very things, the deepest desires of their heart never happened because of equally absurd distractions as the quality of my paper cutting or my weed eating. That's what people spend their lives on. And it's very, very sad.
The conversation on meditation was really helpful for me. The whole thing about checking in with the body just to see if it's relaxed and in a kind position for quiet. There is a lot of posture adjusting that goes on with me during meditation, and when you were talking about that, it is in response to.
Yeah, am I doing this right?
I'm not.
Oh, you're not.
Buck up, you've got the worst posture in the room. You better. And it's just the antithesis of, of just being there, checking with the body and just making sure it's relaxed. I mean, I'm always practicing bringing the shoulders down and, adjusting, but it's coming from that other place.
Mm-hmm. Rather than, it's actually the most comfortable position for the body to be in.
Exactly.
Right? After a while, is just not comfy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And choosing that for. And it just feels like it goes in with what we were speaking about, the tense person, the trying to get it right person that's doing. And this week I had an experience where I was on the seventh day of not keeping a commitment, and every day it was going to be, I'm going to get this done today, I swear it. Today's the day I'm going to get this. And then as that day was coming to a close and other things were getting in the way of me keeping that commitment, I realized, oh my gosh, this is a process. I see a process.
You cannot fool me any longer.
The light bulb went on. It's like, oh my God. Can you see?
And isn't it pretty the way you laid it out? Because that was my next question. So, I've got this commitment. I'm going to do it. End of day. I didn't do it. Okay, tomorrow. I'm going to do it. And then all day long, never thought of it.
Yeah.
Never. Or if you did think of it, it's when you couldn't do it.
Exactly.
Right? And then end of the day, you didn't do it.
Yeah, and that hook is just unbelievable. Well, tomorrow's going to be different. Tomorrow is going to be the spacious, open time to do this thing. And so when I saw it was a process.
What day is that going to be?
Exactly. So when I saw that was a process and I saw that, oh my gosh, this happens with anything that has to do with, particularly with personal care. You know, it's like, oh, we just do not have time for that right now. I'm sorry, don't have time to get in and get the toothbrush. You know, but like
you do.
That doesn't happen.
All right, good.
Yeah, but you know, like I'll make an appointment to have the teeth looked at. It's like, oh, gosh, we gotta wait until there's more space. You know, and so anyway, I just thought, that's it. I'm going to go and do this thing now. And then, oh my gosh, everything that could possibly try to keep me from doing that happened.
Wow.
I mean, the computer wouldn't work. I couldn't get the internet. I couldn't get the internet connection. I couldn't, you know, it was like, and then I said, no. I don't care what it takes, we're going to get this thing done. I have to keep walking all over the place to find, you know, the right. And then.
Carrying your computer.
Exactly. And then I did it. And then I had this experience of. It's like everything kind of just opened up into spaciousness. Mm-hmm. And like, what was so pressing before that?
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't find it. And it's like the system was kind of like, for a moment, just kind of spinning its wheels, like didn't know what to do because I just stopped.
Yeah, it's that leaning into the wind, the wind stops. And
yeah, that's what it felt like. It's like, and it just went quiet for a little bit.
That's in shock.
Just in complete shock that date.
So what did you see about that? What did you learn something valuable from that?
Well, it's all made up. You know, well, first of all, one of the things I saw was I felt like, you know, we often talk about making it a priority to care for the human.
Mm-hmm.
Is really important because then it just makes more available.
Well, as you said,
suddenly
everything is really spacious.
Yeah.
Right.
So I guess that's the thing I saw, that it's all those things that keep getting put in the back burner, they're never going to happen so quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're 72 years old and you're still like putting stuff on the back burner, you know?
And the back burner? The
stove. What do they call that thing when you die, they put you on the, back burner, do that back burner.
It's all
really
fire.
Guardians, right? You know? So I'm distracted. I got distracted there. But to just the importance of, it made me want to look at all the things that I've like.
Yeah. Start one at a time. Bring them out on the front burner.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because that,
Well, a couple of things about it strike me, that's one of those places where I increase my reminders.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, it sounds like you did, it got you for a few days before you actually knew what was going on.
Yeah.
But just to look at your, whatever it is, mm-hmm. and prioritize them.
Yeah.
And then start through them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you get stuck on one,
mm-hmm.
seek support.
Okay.
Because, again, as we know, as soon as it can get us alone, it's got us.
Yeah.
And so when you say to somebody, okay, I'm on day 7, and this is not so, tomorrow at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or whatever it is, I'm going to do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, and we're all going to be watching, did you do that thing? And it isn't able to pull you in, because sometimes that's why we do this together, right?
Yeah.
Because sometimes making a commitment to somebody else will get us out of that stuck place of I'm just trying to make commitment within myself, and I'm actually in a conversation with ego, and this is not meant to bring me to a place of success.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, the reminders I've gone to, you know.
Right. That's when you, you ask your sponsor to come and get you and drive you to the meeting.
Well, here I am. So, because that's the other thing I just spent looking at. What would be the kindest thing for her?
Yes.
To really help her here.
Yeah, and not to do that process would be the kindest thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. And what does she need to be supported to get out of that?
Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know what's on your list, but would it work to do one a day?
I think it would. I don't have a list right now, so
I see.
You know, it's just
so that would be the first thing that would be supported.
That would be the first thing to be supported.
And of course, the list. You know, the best way to make the list is with your recorder, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be interesting just to sit down with that intention and see, because I know it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not been brought to conscious awareness, because mm-hmm. then I might do something about it, you know. So
exactly.
It's all just, rolling around there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is demonized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in the kitchen, if it was, well, let's see. Tomorrow we're going to want to eat something. So I guess we'll want some ingredients.
It is a process I know really well.
Yeah. And you've learned to get around that, right? You have learned how not to be in that position.
Yeah.
And so it's just applying the things
that
you already know how to do externally to internal processes.
Okay, step number one would be kind is just to,
mm-hmm.
get clear on the things that...
You can even, do that a little clipboarder, pin something up, and every time you think of one, you just write it on your list.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. Okay.
And all those time management people, talk about things like there are things that are going to... So what ego has us do is just put everything on a list.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then they're all the same, unimaginably impossible, overwhelming.
Exactly.
But when you actually look at it, some of them would take 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So I call and make a dentist appointment.
Right.
I don't need a day actually to do that. So then we start playing with it along those lines, and which one can you do today? Which one can you do right now? Which one?
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes a game instead of a torture.
And put it on some pretty paper and make it
colored pens.
Good.
Make an art project of it. There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Draw little pictures of all the things and put
there
them.
We go.
Yeah.
And do a little doodle next to everything. And, okay, I'm so glad.
See?
Aren't you glad
you brought it up?
I'm so glad that I talked about that because, it was just...
Which is part of that, if you get stuck somewhere, mm-hmm. it's really good to get it out because...
That's been a real stuck place. All right.
Very good. Thanks.
A couple things that just have arisen as people have been speaking. I've had that experience of I should run this errand, I should run that errand, I should, and then comes a day when I just do them all
and nothing takes very long. And what always happens is I have this tremendous sense of accomplishment.
Yes.
I just love that.
Yes.
And actually, it may have been more efficient to do them all together than one at a time. But that I was just so resonating with that. I'll get to it. And what takes time and energy is the I'll get to it.
Yes. The procrastination is what exhausts us. Yes.
And it takes a lot of psychic space mm-hmm. to procrastinate. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was also just looking at the process of teamwork and team support, and so I just want to report that I made my 60 phone calls. Unfortunately, most people weren't home, but I made the call.
You made the call. That was your commitment.
That was my commitment.
Call until you got somebody at home.
Right. That's mm-hmm. right. Thank God. And so that's gone for now. And there are probably more opportunities, but I did it, and that felt really important. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing how much resistance comes up around that for me. Mm-hmm. Just huge. Mm-hmm. And then we have this really. Then the other thing that was talked about tonight was teamwork, and of course that. I mean, I experienced that in the garden so much, as I said before, not only with the people, but with the plants.
Mm-hmm. Companion planting is such teamwork.
That's right. That's
then
right.
You bring in some butterflies, some worms, some ladybugs, and it's just a...
It's amazing. Do you know, I'll just mention two things. I have an article for the newsletter this week, and I was just noticing the other day, I was pointing it out to folks, When the artichokes first come up, they're just these bushy bushes. If you look at them now, they're kind of straggly, and you get there's big spaces between the leaves because all the energy's gone into the fruit. And it just came to me that they are literally providing us with their life energy when we eat. Mm-hmm. It was just so clear because you know when you harvest a kale or something like that, it's not so, you don't see the plant. Receive in the same way, but you can literally watch the energy leave the plant, go into the fruit, and then we eat the fruit. Mm-hmm. It was just graphic. It was very moving to me. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that just happened today that was so exciting. So this year we've taken two beds, and we're gonna experiment. I love to do experiment every year. So we're experimenting with what the Indians call the Three Sisters, which is corn, squash, and beans. So there's two beds out there that we planted corn in, and after the corn gets to a certain height, you plant beans, and then they use the corn as a scaffold, and then you do squash, and they use the beans and the corn as the scaffold. Yesterday there was no corn up. Today there are 2-inch corn plants. I mean, from Tuesday,
first sister.
From Tuesday to Thursday.
Wow.
And that's that sense of. We're all in this together. Right. So that was wonderful. And just the other thing I was going to mention about teamwork. So I've been involved in this political activity. And so one of the things that this group, this particular political party has done is write postcards to people who did not vote in the last midterm election to encourage them to vote. So we all gathered for our meeting the other night, Tuesday night. And we have written 4,000 postcards.
Wow.
And not everyone that was there at the meeting had written postcards, but we hadn't stamped them. They had to be stamped because they were handwritten. And so for about 45 minutes, people sat there stamping postcards, 4,000 postcards. And, you know, if you had planned a group building activity, mm-hmm. it wouldn't have been more perfect. Because everybody started getting conversations with their neighbor, and they're all stamping away, and people were walking around saying, "You got any postcards for me? I got stamps. Can I help you with that?" It was amazing. It was so much fun, you know. And I have to say, there was a Sangha person there, and I did at one point say, "You're putting those stamps on exactly right." But it was just, you know, it was just when people work together, and that wasn't planned. Uh-huh. In fact, it was supposed to be bulk mailing, and then we found out because if you handwrite them, you have to do them all with regular stamps. Uh-huh. So it just happened, uh-huh. and people had so much fun. Uh-huh. And even people that had nothing to do, people had just stopped in at the meeting. There was a guest speaker. She stayed doing drawings. Because people just enjoy that uh-huh. sense of we're in this together.
Uh-huh.
And we're making something happen, and it's fun, and I'm having these good conversations with people in the community.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. Uh-huh. So it was just that thing about, you know, that we're in this together. It's uh-huh. just...
Well, and I project, of course, that's why ego
isolates.
As people go like this.
Absolutely.
Because, not because it's going to be awful, not because you're going to hate it, but because it's going to be exactly, excuse me, what you've been looking for all along, which is people being good together.
Mm-hmm. And having fun.
And having fun.
Everybody in the room is having so much fun. Mm-hmm. And if you tell them in advance, by the way, we're going to stamp 4,000 postcards, a lot of people might have stayed home. But
right.
No, we didn't know. We were not told in advance, but the willingness
mm-hmm.
was all there, and the enjoyment was all there, and it was just a lovely experience.
You know, it occurs to me that the other time that we see those that sort of thing is when there's some sort of a disaster.
Yes.
You know, I was thinking about the fires
yep.
and how everybody just rushes forth to be the very best they can be.
Yep.
And then, I heard myself earlier saying, and you practice with this, and then when you go out there, and it seems like, and I think Scott referred to this too, then it slows down, mm-hmm. and ego pulls us back into kind of isolation and mm-hmm. its own little conversations. And so to practice with those kinds of experiences such that we know that's what we want.
Mm-hmm.
We seek that out because we enjoy it. We want to participate.
Right, right. And so often when we're given the opportunity, that willingness really just kind of leaps out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that we just get such satisfaction in
mm-hmm.
that.
People are good.
Yeah.
And people want to help.
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm.
And be part of something.
Be part of something, yeah.
Yeah, it was very fun.
Yeah, well, that's great. It was fun participating and being with all of you.